First up, naked scientist Kate Lambour met Dr. Kristen Brennard from the New York Stem Cell Foundation. She's been punching into people's skin, and using clever chemistry, she converts the skin cells that she picks up into brain cells, which she grows in a dish. All part of a quest to unravel the mysteries that surround the condition schizophrenia.
So schizophrenia is a really common and really debilitating disorder. It affects about 1% of people across the world in every culture and every country. And those who are affected, the common symptoms are hallucinations and delusions. There are, of course, many, many other symptoms, but that is the classic phenotype.
What goes on in the brains of people with schizophrenia? Do we know what causes these symptoms?
So that is actually a really complicated question. Actually, just this morning, a paper came out in a really famous journal, Nature, showing that there are now 108 genes that have been implicated in schizophrenia. So we know at least 108 ways that somebody can be schizophrenic, and the answer is probably even more than that. It seems like the brains of patients on the whole are affected. In postmortem studies, we can see that the brains are smaller. And in functional fMRI imaging studies of live patients, we can see the brains don't connect as well. But the short answer is no. We don't know all the ways that things are going wrong in the brain of people with schizophrenia.
Why is it so important that we unpick this problem? Is it really important for treatment?
Well, I think it's really important for treatment and for society as a whole. As I said, anytime 1% of the people, that's 100 million people around the world are affected by a disease. You really want to understand why and treat it. This is a really debilitating disease. 95% of patients who are diagnosed with schizophrenia will never again have a full-time job. 50% will have drug and alcohol abuse problems. And in the US at least, 1 in 5 will be homeless and live in the streets. And so this is a really important disease that has no cure, that it would be wonderful if we could get insights and new medications to help these people.
So you've been using stem cells to help unpick this problem. How have you gone about looking at that?
In 2006, a remarkable discovery was made by a researcher in Japan by the name of Shinya Yamanaka. And what he showed is that you could take skin samples from any person on the planet and reprogram those into stem cells. And stem cells, of course, can become any cell type in the body, or at least this type of stem cell can be. And so what I've done is I've taken skin samples from healthy controls and from patients with schizophrenia and turned them both into stem cells. And then those become brain cells, neurons that I can compare. And so we start by asking really basic questions. How are the brain cells different between patients with schizophrenia and healthy controls? And we've begun to see a few differences. And the second question is, why are they different? And that's really the hard question, is why are these cells different and how can we make them the same?
When you take a stem cell and you turn it into a neuron, is that a good model for neurons that are found in adult brains, or are they slightly different?
They're more than slightly different, unfortunately. We've been doing gene expression comparisons of neurons from our stem cells, and what I can tell you is when we compare them to neurons in human tissue, they're most similar to first trimester fetal tissue. So our cells are really young. Nonetheless, they fire action potentials, they form synapses. So the cells that we make from stem cells are functionally similar to the neurons in the human brain. But there are some really important limitations. They're not myelinated like those in the brain might be. And they are heterogeneous. So they're not all of one cell type. And as a consequence, they wire in ways that they don't typically wire in the brain. And so it's a model. It's an imperfect model. But it's at least a source of live human neurons to study.
So when you look at the differences between the neurons that you've created from controls and the neurons that you've created from those with schizophrenia, what are the differences that you start to see?
There are a few major types of differences that I and other groups have seen. Some of the commonalities that we see are that the neurons don't connect to each other as well. So they have fewer branches, fewer neurites growing from the soma. They have fewer synapses along the dendrites. And functionally, some groups, unfortunately not mine, but other really great groups have shown that the synapses are not as functional. They don't fire as often between the neurons. Collectively, as a whole, I think the field has shown poor connectivity, reduced synaptic activity and structure, increased oxidative stress, and aberrant migration of schizophrenia neural cells.
So the cells from the people with schizophrenia are acting slightly differently, but there are these 108 genes that might play a role in that. Do we have any idea what's causing that?
It's likely that in every patient, the cellular phenotypes might be coming from different mutations. In fact, I've genotyped my patients, and they don't share the same mutation. So it seems like collectively pathways are being affected that have the same downstream consequences, but the genetic root is actually different in each patient.
So does noticing these changes, does that help us to develop drugs which might solve them?
So So that's actually the ultimate goal, is to have a drug screening platform. I can make a limitless number of neurons from any patient with any genetic background. And so the hope would be that the geneticists can collectively sort patients into maybe 500 or 1,000 different ways of having schizophrenia, and that we could then do a drug screen for each of the 1,000 different ways that one could be schizophrenia, and so that your doctor ultimately might say, oh, you're type 208. You should use this drug at this dose. And so that's, I think, the ultimate place that the stem cell research wants to get to, is drug screening.
So this is sort of going into the personalized medicine idea. You'll know exactly what type you have of the hundreds, and they'll know which drugs will be able to help you.
It's a very similar approach to what people are doing for cancer right now. Yes, the goal is to better predict what drug will help and to avoid the side effects from those that don't.